I view intimacy, and that's why I intentionally say into me you see. It's in, it's a connection that you experience with someone. It doesn't necessarily have to be like a romantic partner. It could be a family member, friends, children, and things like that. It's time spent with them.
Yeah.
It's being around them. It's really taking the time to listen and notice things that you didn't notice. So it's really, I call it, it's like a mindfulness glaze or time with like.
Sure, like being present
that
with
you're
that.
Experiencing with someone.
Yes. Welcome back, everyone.
Hello.
All right, so let's start off with some mindfulness. Everyone get yourself into your mindfulness position. Your back is straight but not rigid. Your feet are planted on the ground, both of them in a way that makes you feel connected to the ground. Let's take a nice deep breath in through our nose, out of our mouth. Go ahead and settle into your chair. I want you to notice my voice. Really focus in on the sound of my voice. For the mindfulness that we're going to do today, we're going to get in contact with certain body parts. I want you to notice how you respond to those body parts or those words that I might say. And I want you to meet those thoughts, those feelings, and those sensations with kindness and openness. First, I'd like you to start off with your face. Notice the muscles in your face at this moment. Your jaw, your eyebrows. When you think about your crush, your significant other, your partner, your loved one, what does your face do when you think about their face? Imagine them standing in front of you. And you sharing an intimate moment with them. Other parts of your body might be activated or aware, but I want you to bring your attention back to your face. Do you have an urge to smile? To smirk? Do you notice any heat on your face? Are your eyes fluttering? Now bring your attention down to your throat. Notice what it feels like to take in breath. Now down to your shoulders. Imagine what it feels like to have your partner, your loved one, your significant other, place their hand upon your shoulder. How are you immediately responding? Now down to your arms, imagining a gentle caress, one of just support. What does it feel like to imagine that? Some of us might be comfortable. Some of us might be uncomfortable. Again, just be kind and gentle with yourself. How does your chest feel right now? Any tightness? Any fluttering in your stomach? Any urges to move your body, shift your position? Bring your attention to your hips and how they make contact with your chair. Now down to your feet. Notice how they make contact with the ground. Imagine your partner has placed their hand upon your knee. Gently, innocently, what comes to mind? How does the body respond? Let's take a deep breath in. Slowly release. I want you to notice your body just releasing anything that might have been activated in that moment. Maybe imagine a cool sensation starting from the top of your head, down your shoulders, past your chest, down your stomach, past your legs, down your knees, down to your toes. And when you feel comfortable, open your eyes and bring yourself back to the space.
I'm gonna be honest with you, that's like the first time I've done mindfulness all week that is like me not instructing. So I really needed that. I had a lot of thoughts about that during that time. Like, damn, girl, you have not done no mindfulness this week.
So some judgments?
It was more like a playful damn girl, not necessarily like shame or you, but more so like, okay, yeah, that's, I'm taking note that I need to get back into that this week coming.
Okay, nice. And so as you were kind of guided through that mindfulness today, aside from the thoughts around, I would really like for this to happen more, right? Do you feel like you were able to fully engage in the experience?
Yes, I think I was able to focus. Well, for the most part, I think I had to kind of bring myself back and forth. I was non-judgmental of that, though. It's kind of just like, it is what it is. My environment was offering me a lot today, so I went with it.
Okay. When you think about the image that showed up when you at least were guided to think about like a partner, a loved one, significant other, were you able to bring that image up pretty easily?
Yeah, immediately, as soon as you started talking about it. And then I like had a smirk. Then there was like just other random people, like family members and stuff that were also coming to my mind, like just like thoughts drifting away around like the last time me and my partner were with my family and stuff like that. And I'm like, shoot, get out of here. I'm supposed to be thinking about my boo.
I got you. Okay. And so when your partner came to mind, right, was there a certain activation in your body that you noticed?
I immediately started like smiling. I think I had some like eyebrow twitches.
Okay. And then when you kind of then like those images creeped up of like family members and other things, were there other sensations that you noticed?
Not necessarily sensations, but I was just like, definitely like, oh, I'm trying to get back to this, not be thinking about family stuff.
Yeah. I think that's gonna, you know, allude a little bit to the conversation that we have today around, you know, staying in the zone, if you will,
exactly,
around certain things. But, you know, that's good that you were able to notice that and practice a bit of like non-judgmentalness and just like allowing the thoughts to just kind of come and go instead of holding on to them in a way of like, you shouldn't be here kind of thing. So
I'm feeling really go with the flowy today.
Yeah.
So
nice. Let's go with
that's very rare.
All right, Jay, what was your experience with that?
So a little bit similar to Ty's around like, I was present in my environment. My external stimuli was also activated on 1,000, but I was able to bring me back. And of course, when you said the partner, significant other, so I started smiling, and I started having thoughts that he would deem inappropriate as we were walking through it. Then I got distracted again externally, mm-hmm. but I was able to bring myself back, and I did notice like there was a lot of like smiling, mm-hmm. That was going on for me.
Definitely.
And tinglings too. I was just like, my chest was like, going. Mm-hmm. Kind of felt warm.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And as those, you know, thoughts that I guess could be labeled as inappropriate, I guess, depending on the context, you know, the scenario and who's around, were there any things that showed up in your body?
Yeah, there was some tingling sensation around some of the thoughts. There were some like...
But more along the lines of like when you thought about your partner or your person, like did that interrupt what was showing up in your body? Were there different things that showed up in your body or thoughts? It was mostly like thinking, it seems like.
It was mostly thinking. Then mm-hmm. it was specific like moments in time as you were walking through that was coming, like current, present moments in time that was like showing up, but nothing. And the sensations were still there. Nothing was really intensified more than the other as the different thoughts around time spent.
Okay, yeah. Okay. And for, you know, both of you guys, when you think about your body during the mindfulness practice, were there any sensations that were new, unfamiliar, surprising, maybe even unwanted?
No.
No.
I would say other than my family popping up.
Yeah, but I'm pretty in tune with my body. Like if something was different, I would feel like I would have recognized it, but not that I recognized.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it was anything new. Yeah.
Not that I recognized.
Definitely familiar. Mm-hmm.
For my viewers out there, I want you guys to think about the same question. Are there any sensations in your body that were unfamiliar, that were new, that were uncomfortable, or maybe you wanted it not to be present? That showed up for you. And I want you to kind of meet that with some kindness and curiosity, right? So this could be something that you journal a little bit about around where that first came from, right? That feeling of like, I shouldn't have this experience.
Yeah.
Or when you first started thinking like, this was bad, right? In a way, journal a little bit. Some of those of you who are, you know, have your own therapist, this would be a great conversation to kind of bring up, to explore, you know, around sensuality, sexuality, and just like your own body. So that would be my suggestion for you guys, you know, after our mindfulness practice today.
Yeah, and I like how you pointed out when I made like the word inappropriate thought, how you pointed out like, it might be like a social norm or whoever.
Right.
Like
is it inappropriate?
Right. So determine like whatever feeling and sensation, like you said, that they're experiencing, like why are we discriminating or judging it as like inappropriate?
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that was like a nice, easy segue into our topic today as well. Intimacy.
My favorite topic.
I say, not you whispering it. What did you say our topic was today?
What was the topic?
Intimacy.
Into me, you see. Is what I say.
I think we talked a little bit last time about like dating and relationships. We touched a little bit on intimacy and sexuality, but we want to give it a full go, full conversation.
So, first of all, what is intimacy? Like, what's the. First, I guess we can start with the Webster's Dictionary version of intimacy versus like, I guess the overgeneralized term that I think that people often misuse.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know what Webster say, but I know what I tell my couples
right.
and how I view intimacy. And that's why I intentionally say into me, you see, it's a connection that you experience with someone. It doesn't necessarily have to be like a romantic partner. It could be a family member, friends, children, and things like that. It's time spent with them.
Yeah.
It's being around them. It's really taking the time to listen and notice things that you didn't notice. So it's really, it's like a mindfulness glaze or time with like.
Sure, like being present
that
with that.
That you're experiencing with someone.
Yes.
That's how I define intimacy.
Yeah, I definitely would say like my intimacy is safety to me. Like being able to feel safe, secure, like welcome, all of those things. Like align with safety to me. So I would say that any close activities that you can do that create that feels very intimate to me. Like, mm-hmm. I'm a private person. I'm like,
yeah.
I'm not necessarily exclusive, mm-hmm. but I do have like my select few people that I feel intimate with, and it's not always just like around like a partner or like mm-hmm. romantic way, but
yeah,
like
okay.
my friendships are very intimate as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
So as you guys can see, everyone has a operational, running, individualized definition of intimacy. But I'm going to challenge everyone here.
Well, you didn't tell us what you
are. Just hold on. I'm gonna get there. But everyone, including the viewers, I want you. You got your computer out, Tyler. Yes, you got your phone out, Jay.
Yeah,
viewers, you got your stuff out. Alexa,
not Alexa, Lord.
Search, what is the definition of intimacy?
Alexa, don't know Alexa.
It's just like close familiarity or friendship, closeness, which mm-hmm. I feel like was pretty mm-hmm. aligned
okay.
with what we said.
Hit the alter definitions on that one.
The similar definitions are also like a private or cozy atmosphere, an intimate act, specifically sexual intercourse.
Mm-hmm.
So there's several different
yes.
definitions, which we find a lot in the English language.
So the reason why I wanted you guys to really look at it, because earlier today I also asked Alexa to, what is the definition of intimacy? Mm-hmm. And connection, closeness, safety, belonging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Curiosity. That is what intimacy in a
embodies,
very,
yeah.
you know.
It's a big word with a lot of meaning.
Exactly. It has many different ways in which that you can be intimate with someone.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sexual intercourse is a way of being close, but there are other ways
that's
where
the
you
only
can
way.
Feel mm-hmm. safe with someone, where you feel like you're able to share secrets. That was another thing, like being able to,
yeah.
like intimate is like, feeling like you're able to open towards someone and share the very sharp, maybe ugly, maybe distorted parts of you without that fear of judgment.
Yeah.
Well, I think the word safety is huge and powerful.
Yeah.
So Tyler, when you said that, it definitely is something
yeah.
that we all, most, well, most of the world, but I feel like everyone would desire safety within a space around a person that they, you know, that they occupy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In that sense. So I think the big part of intimacy, I think with all the definitions that you see, it catered around the word safety.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because you need to feel safe or
yeah.
be in a safe environment in order to, like you said, divulge and open your true essence of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
The good, the bad, the ugly, the trouble, the hidden.
Yes, that comfort, that. Security.
Yeah.
Okay, so then, let's get into our pillow talk.
Well, Stephanie didn't define what intimacy is to her, though.
So intimacy to me is really around, like, is openness, is around sitting in a room in a moment with someone and having just a certain comfort of existing with that person. You don't really have to say much. You don't really have to perform. You're able
yeah.
to really just share that. Yeah. simplicity with someone,
mm-hmm.
right? And know that that person cherishes that moment just as much as you do without
yeah.
feeling like, oh, I need to record. I need to like, you know, make this experience something.
Sure.
I'm just taking the experience as like
just
what
take it
is.
In.
Yeah.
So that's what intimacy is to me, is trust, is just is simple, yet somehow really difficult for people to participate in.
Sure.
You know, to show, to understand, all of those things.
Yeah, agree.
Good to you.
I think that kind of leads us to our pillow talk question then, around like, what are some things that you all might struggle with intimacy? Whether that is platonic or romantic, and what's something that you might look forward to with sex and intimacy.
Why y'all looking at me? Okay, so that means y'all want me to start.
Yeah, basically. You seem like the most experienced.
That's the most experienced, Lord. Okay. What do I struggle with? I will say this. I feel like what I used to struggle with is I would, whether it's in a romantic space, whether it's in like friends or family space, there's certain parts of me that I used to hold back from like sharing with others.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of people used to view me as strong and as this. So now that I'm, you know, in my beautiful 40s, okay, I feel like I'm more transparent, I'm more honest, I'm more real, I'm more raw. And not really worry about the judgments of that. So I used to struggle with that. I don't struggle with that anymore as it relates to intimacy. And what was the other part?
Yeah, what's something you look forward to?
I'm looking forward to making time to actually keep building more intimacy.
I agree.
Whether it's with like we haven't spent, you know, we work together, we do business together, we do a lot of stuff together. We really have not like gone on a trip in a long time.
Right. I was just thinking that, like, I am intimate with you guys, obviously, but like we have not been able to create space for that.
So I feel like, you know, we do stuff outside of each other with other people, and at the same time, because we work together, we also haven't like had time to really connect. So, you know, I think I'm going to challenge us like to do something next month or something.
I agree. Really, I'm with that challenge. But, I miss y'all. So
I'm looking to make it more time for that because I just feel like I've kind of been busy, but being more intimate spaces.
Same.
With people that I care about and I love, yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
I guess one thing for me when I think about like, intimacy is one of those things that I struggled with because I felt like I'm open. I give very much this kind of like, I am inviting. I am, what's it called? I'm a very non-judgmental people, and people often come to me and feel a certain level of safety, like before I have even necessarily done what I think would make sense for that level of trust.
Like, how did we get here?
Right? You know, kind of thing. And so I have often found myself like being able to provide an intimate space for other people, but does that mean that I'm necessarily
experiencing that?
Right.
Too.
And yeah. I'm opening and intimate in that way. I think it wasn't until, you know, being friends with Jay, and Jay would be like, yeah, like, you know, it took a while for you to feel comfortable enough to like open. And I'm like thinking, I'm like, well, I feel like people ask me things. I'm
like
pretty forthcoming around that, right? So that's where you're thinking like,
year.
I'm open and I'm all that stuff. Okay.
Yeah, like, she had to say it twice.
Right. Like, so I'm just saying like, so it's like often me not understanding like intimacy was not necessarily something that was I saw growing up a lot.
Sure.
Like it was more along like acts of service, but like not necessarily safety and openness without there being like a threat of like it coming out somehow,
sure, there was some,
consequence
some sort
of in some way, or like being, you think that it's good, but then somehow later on being brought up in a time that you're vulnerable, you know? So like,
well, see you, cause I was about to say that with you with the word vulnerable. I think what happened, which you shared, I think maybe a couple of episodes, but also from knowing you intimately, is that I think you, when you have your moments of vulnerability, because you're so used to being that vessel for others, they don't know how to receive your moments of vulnerability, and which in turn kind of feel like a rejection for you, and you kind of shelf back in.
Yeah.
So I think that's why, because you are transparent in terms of like, yeah, if a question is being asked of you, you'll share it. And it's not something you openly do when it comes to like the core things that kind of matters to you.
Mm-hmm.
You're someone who loves the simplicity of like just being and being with,
because I feel like for me, I'm a very simple person when it comes to like,
you
it's
are.
Like, I'm just like,
you are.
To me, it's very clear. If we spend time with each other, if we enjoy each other, there isn't much argument. There isn't like much. To me, that's
enough.
Yeah. But sometimes that simplicity can be too simple for people, and then that then leads to all these things that often will make me feel like, where did it come from?
Do you find that that's like unspoken, like an unspoken expectation, or do you find that people like clearly express to you that it's not enough? Like, where do you get that?
I don't really get, like, it will often come, I guess, where that's where that like part of connecting what Jay said is that like I'm really good at being able to open like safety and like security and non-judgmentalness with other folks, right? However, there is this kind of implied ness that like I'm strong, mm-hmm. that so that I wouldn't necessarily need that kind of like support or aid. Mm-hmm. Or I like protect others by like not necessarily, people don't see me in a vulnerable place
so
often.
So it's not necessarily unspoken, but the assumptions about
kind
you.
Of.
Well, assumptions make an ass.
Out of you and me. And then also, and it's something that I've wrestled with since I was, you know, younger, and the fact that like my needs on the emotional space are not often on the same level as other people around me. So because I don't need as much, there can be a bit of, and so I feel like the intimacy can be affected in that way when one of your partners have their emotional needs is on a lower end, but yours is on the higher end, right? And so you feel like, well, why is it that you aren't up here with, like, why don't you need more? Or am I not doing it? And it's like, no, I don't need, like, my level of, like, I don't need
good.
More.
Being different people.
I hope you guys, like, are following along with that. It's just, like, the things that I need emotionally, and that could be because of my upbringing, often is less than that of my partner. And that can work against me at times.
Yeah.
That's interesting that you shared that. I think I sometimes can be in that way as well. The thing that I struggle with intimacy is like trusting people and getting close.
That's you.
I mean, even we talk about like how our friendship started, like it took me a while to warm up. I think that if we had met not in a professional setting, perhaps it would not have been that way.
That's true.
Because we started off in a work setting that was new to me at the time, and I think at a different time in my career as well, I was a little bit more like close.
Because I'm gonna tell y'all, when I met Tyler, we were switching off a client. I met Tyler at the library. I was like, hi, how are you? I was like, I'm Jay. She was like, hello. I said, okay, all right. I said, well, you know, here with the client. She said, okay, cool, thank you. I was like, all right. And I remember, like, the supervisor at the time was like, oh, you're going to love Tyler. She has this great personality, da, da, da. And I remember calling her. I was like, yeah, she's pretty dry. I was like, so. But I didn't hand off the cake. But, yeah. So that's definitely, you have that.
Well.
But now you've grown.
Exactly. I feel like people often have that impression of me when they first meet me. Like, they feel like I'm not necessarily inviting or friendly, and I'm like, I don't know, maybe I am not necessarily friendly, but I am like a fun, kind person.
You,
like, I am friendly
design.
To my friends.
You are a good
time. I do feel like I'm a vibe. Like,
no,
I can,
you are the vibe. You are a good
I can create an energy. I can bring, like,
but I think it goes back to what you said, like, somebody has to bring you safety.
Yeah.
So it wasn't something that you, like, automatically.
It doesn't happen right away, yeah, for sure. And it definitely wouldn't happen, like, upon, like, seeing me, like, just visually.
I think it's also like, if we compartmentalize sometimes, I think what you were saying, like, you're in workspace, you're in work mode, you're like, I'm not looking to make friends, I'm looking to do this job, like,
Well, I guess it's a safety piece, because when I met Tyler, it was also in a work setting, but I didn't get.
No, but the work setting was immediately safe. We were
going to
get our nails done and shit.
Right. No, right. That's true. Because I'm just like, I often didn't get the closed off, like, oh, like, I don't want, like, I'm apprehensive. Or I saw that maybe in
with
other places, but in terms of, like, for me, like, I never got that, like, oh. But even with other people, I'm often someone who, like, sees maybe a little, like, a wall is more of, like,
girl, you've always seen all the sides of people.
But it's, like, I often just see it as, like, shyness. Like, you're just shy. Like, I don't even see, I'm going to wear you down. Like, that's the thing. Like, I'm going to wear you down. Like, type of thing. Like, so it's, like, you can put it up if you want, but, like, I'm going to be here. Like,
no, really. That's so really that, like, how our friendship has gone.
It's just, it's more like, oh, well, like, I don't want, I'm like, no, we're going. Like, it's pretty much, and I think often a lot of, like, friends and even partners that I have been around, like, there is this often this, like, shyness that I, like, feel or experience or bring out or whatever in people. And I'm just like,
You're the stallion, babe.
You have it's a big personality, yeah. too. So, like, I think all three of us have big personalities. So, I think that we kind of, like, can understand and match each other's energy. But I could totally see how someone whose personality is maybe a little bit more reserved or timid would, like, perhaps even feel, like, shy or intimidated by
you. And that's so interesting. That's
well, you ladies
who I tend
didn't say
to attract.
What you were looking, so. That's exactly
so
what
I would say, so I didn't, to? So I would also say, like, another struggle with me, like, for, like, romantic intimacy has been, like, figuring out my sexuality. Like, that has been, like, maybe the struggles with intimacy were more so related to, like, my sexuality rather than, like, the person.
The person, yeah.
So, like, that has been, like, a whole interesting thing to sort through, but fun.
Interesting. I was about to say, yeah, that's also fun because also it gives you a sense of, I think what we're so boxed in our thinking and what we should and in the norms of everything that I think we do limit our mind to explore, like, what is in front of us. I think specifically as women, when it comes to intimacy or even women in intimacy, we can literally be one-minded about, like, how things should be or how it should look like instead of really opening your mind to experience it.
Yeah, I agree.
So this is where I was, because I've often been a very open person. I did not. So because often I think my environment was conservative and one-minded and rigid, and I often would rebel against that since I was young. Because I'm like, well, why does this group need to be, what's it called, crucified over this group? Why is this thing more okay? Why does this gender or sex get to do, like, it's often something I was always questioning, like, I'm very much an equality and I recognize an equity kind of person. Like, why does this person get to do this or operate in this place and this person does not get to do this and operate in this way? So when I think about intimacy again, it goes back to, like, challenges that I have with intimacy is oftentimes my moral compass that, and all of us I think can attest to this, our moral compass is made up from our family members, our religion, a lot of our learning history. And regardless of how fluid, free, and open I am to things, that for us 40M folks, that super ego very much can be like, and it comes up with shame. Like, there's often a lot of shame that shows up with opening yourself in a certain way. Like, even in the conversations that we're having today, like, wait, I'm talking about sex out loud? And mind you, it's not even about random people. It's the people close to me hearing these things.
That's
and what could they potentially say about it? And what could they think about it? Because, again, there was a very closed, controlled thing around what was shared and what was acceptable.
I agree. I think, honestly, like, I'm glad that you mentioned that because there's probably some things that I'm sharing on the podcast that, like, people have not heard before that are close to me. So, like, that'll be... I don't know. I don't feel no type of way about it.
It's intimacy.
Yeah, like,
this is a form of intimacy. I think we're being intimate with people. We're trusting that, you know, as we create a safe space for each other, when we do put, when this is out there, that other people will learn to create safe spaces for themselves.
I agree.
They can have dialogue with their friends about topics like this.
Yeah.
And there will be no shame around it. Yeah. I think one thing we do well is that we don't shame each other for our experiences in the different phase. Mm. You ladies have seen me gone through different phases. We've seen each other gone through different phases. So it's one of those things where that's the beauty of intimacy, right? Is that to create space and to create a safe space and also learn, like, if I experience this in a romantic setting, it's okay because
that's
these
okay.
people have also expressed, like, their struggles and barriers with that.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. I think you said something too, Stephanie, that kind of brought up, like, the power dynamics for me. And I think that that has also been, like, a block for intimacy. I struggle with, like, the... if I am vulnerable or open, like, is this person then going to have, like, power over me in some way?
Oh, yes.
So that certainly had created a block. And I think that, like, shame was not necessarily my thing, but like you said, like, that cultural aspect, I've always identified as queer, but I think, like, being able to fully commit to the relationship that I'm in now, like, that took me a while to kind of figure out, like, can I actually do that because of, like, culture, like, just my background and, like, I guess it was more so other people's expectations of me, not necessarily my own expectations of myself.
Right, and I was going to say that for you. I think when, you know, based on what we share kind of, like, intimately, it's more, like, for you is the, how would this look like for me? Or how would this look like on me or around me? What would people think in all question? And I think honestly, I'm glad you went through the journey that you went through.
Me too.
I feel like you're able to actually be yourself in all arenas, not just in a romantic setting, but yeah. I feel like you literally living Thai, like intentionally on purpose with mm-hmm. less fucks given. I want you to give more and more
for
less
sure.
fucks.
So that's the exciting part, right? Like that is the part that is exciting for me and perhaps the thing that I look forward to with intimacy and sex, like just like more of like me being myself. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think something that I kind of also want to highlight is this thing around how like intimacy for me wasn't taught or introduced outside of sexuality or physical
right.
stuff. So oftentimes like getting close to someone, male or female, mm-hmm. man, woman, you know, non-binary, what have you, it often was like there was almost a threshold or like a limit on how close yeah. that you could be with someone. Or there was like, oh, this is okay until you're a certain age. Now you have to all of a sudden just don't do that anymore.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know and I think that, like, that mine definitely also can vary by gender. Mm-hmm. Like, very much so. I'm mm-hmm. sure that that is related to yeah. like past history, yeah. trauma for sure. But I yeah. definitely have more struggles with like males or like masculine presenting people than I do with like.
Well, I think something that we can, you know, maybe in a later episode of touch on is the idea of power.
Yeah.
Say what that gets in the way of intimacy yes. and vulnerability and things like that. And I think some of that, whether consciously or we know or don't know, that is like a trauma response in that sense.
It is.
Right. In looking at, because I know I feel you in the same way because I, culturally, I saw the power of men. And how
and I wanted to assimilate that.
Yes, like. And how responsive they were towards the women. My mother would tell you this, like, towards the women, mm-hmm. like, I was like, I used to tell my mother, I was like, I don't want to be a girl. I was like, I want to be a man. I said, they listen, because I was like, they listen to very simple,
right.
you know, it's in a sense of like, they had a power to, they walk in and they're being served, or like, the women are serving them. They're listening and they're following. And I remember for the longest time, I was just like, yeah, because I used to be like, suck my dick like this. And Baba be like, mm-hmm. you don't have no dick. What mm-hmm. dick are you talking about? And I said, it doesn't matter. Like, but even
but
the she, idea,
but even see how much of the fact that, like, yeah. sex, like, excuse me, like, the men's genitalia, mm-hmm. men's language, like, those things mm-hmm. were a pillar of power. Mm-hmm. But you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Like,
you know, and like, that was, like, shoved down our
throat. Like, yes. like, and even think about, like, all, yes. like, just think about what you're saying, the part, yeah. like, I remember little, when I was little, suck my dick was off, like, you was.
Suck my dick, yeah.
Yeah. Like, and, even, say, and it made it even more powerful because we didn't have a dick. Like, so it was really, like,
yes.
yeah.
I mean, if you want to.
I think that yes. that definitely yes. showed up for me when needing to check myself when, like, engaging in, like relationships with other women, because I definitely found like I found like more of like the power dynamic being yeah. something that was like intriguing and like desirable at one yeah. point in my life, like
yeah. yeah,
but that's because again I feel like even myself when I look back at like elementary school Stephanie, especially when we look at that conversation that we had a few episodes ago around assimilating. And
yes.
like the thing, often assimilation doesn't show up only in culture.
Right.
It also shows up in gender, mm-hmm. right? Think about right now with the whole conversations that they're having about trad wife, all those conversations they're having around red pill talk, like all of that is yeah. together.
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. yeah, it's interesting though, yeah. because I think that like there's a lot of there's just a lot of language around how like men and women might see intimacy differently, which
yes.
I also think is like, can we get past that binary at this point? Because like, that is not true.
Right, but think about, remember when we did the group and we asked the men like, how did they view intimacy? And
but I also feel like that
physical.
Is very like
but that I was gonna
cis
say,
hetero male centered.
But I also right. think that's a little bit limited because right. I
sure.
even think when I think about what I said about intimacy, intimacy for me was not ever separated outside of physical sexual
physical,
stuff.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
often men, they're not really like their relationships with friends, mm-hmm. they don't get the same kind of like intimate like things that we are. We're not kicking and talking. We're not laying.
I imagine that my brothers would not say that they're intimate with their friends.
Even that word would give like, wait, that's gay. Like, because it immediately goes into sex. Right? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But you're like, even that vulnerability is not something that you would do with another man for many different reasons. Safety. Mm-hmm. Look, this is not the number one thing that
it's
said
judgment,
was part of the stuff.
They judge themselves. Right?
They judge themselves, but there also is, I think, again, if we're connecting it to some of the conversations that we're having, and this might be controversial, but it's like that bear versus man situation, mm-hmm. right? That you guys have heard, like, who would you pick in the wilderness, a bear or a man?
You already know I'm picking a bear.
I do think part of the reason why there's the choice of the bear is that there is a ingrained lack of safety between men.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's so interesting, like, too, because I think I when I was younger, I had more male friends. Mm-hmm. No, that's like looked at as like very like pick me now. But like I had a lot of male friends, and I guess part of that also comes from like wanting to be in proximity to what I perceived at that time as like a powerful position. Mm-hmm. I would definitely say that my male friends are intimate with me. Like they can't wait to share shit with me.
Same
here. And I'm like, do you talk to your homeboy about this? Because you should. Because some of the stuff I'm like, you probably need somebody that who is also a cis heterosexual male to converse about this. I'm gonna give you what is from my perspective as a queer black woman.
And I think that's we're kind of running away from it a little bit, but I think that's something to kind of cover, like safety, how much safety do men, I think they're getting better of providing safety amongst themselves, but there's still a lack of separation around, you know, not looking like, man, don't be a punk.
I just worry.
Or women coming in and infiltrating those spaces. There was a recent conversation that a black man was having on TikTok about the man versus bear conversation, and he was addressing the men in like his following, and of course women came in
and had putting, things and, to
like, say. So there's often, I think, the catch 22 of like men are definitely getting better, but women also have to allow men the spaces for them to work it out within themselves.
Yeah,
because we don't like the things that they we don't like, you don't say it like that.
Yeah.
That's not accurate, but they have to kind of like stumble through and around it in order for them to understand it. In the same way that as women, we had to understand there's a difference between feminism through the white gaze and intersectional feminism that deals with all of those other things. We have to stumble through that to realize that. And you didn't see men telling us, this is how
you're supposed to be. Yeah. Well, I mean,
they told us how to be a woman, but they wasn't telling us how to be a feminist. So, like, I think, like, when we go back to the intimacy thing, I do often think that men aren't necessarily given as much freedom.
Sure, I agree with that. Leeway, flexibility.
And, like, honestly, just, like, the ability to make mistakes through
Or just to explore.
How about the adverse? Because you were talking, how about the fact that men who connect to their intimacy and who want to be vulnerable and who want to have that intimacy with their partner, but their partner also, if it's a hetero relationship, the partner also struggles with that intimacy.
And
only see it from the physical lens.
Because
do have some, you know, women who struggle with intimacy and just look at intimacy strictly from the physical lens. So when you get with a partner, hey, I don't want anything. I just want to look at your
eyes. That comes from a deep place.
A
deep place that you should work on with your trauma therapist.
Yes.
For sure.
It comes from a fear of rejection and you putting a lot of value around. Because I also often remember early in relationships feeling that sexual compliment, seeing things, the gaze was immense of like,
Power, validation.
I feel like I have control over this because I'm, and I often think that the women from the past, like our grandparents, they did that because, I mean, often that's how they got power.
That is how they got
power. That's how, I mean, the thing, even
the way
about
all of us at some point have like lived alone.
Yeah.
Even that dynamic, right? Like perhaps that was more rooted in like survival at some point.
Yeah.
Like this is the way that I need to assimilate to X in order to get the things that I needed.
Yeah.
And we are not a part of that generation.
Yeah.
We're just not a part of that.
But definitely still a product of and can often be a victim of those same rules that we thought we needed to, we have to survive within, right? Like that's the
that's
only
the
way.
Expectation.
And especially as a dark skinned woman, think about how often like intimacy was only really gonna be received if you got some type of sexual gratification, you know what I'm saying? Like, so like, in a way, that's the only way that you could feel desired is if you were seen in that way.
So what do you guys think about like teaching people how to be intimate with you?
Well, that's what I do, I think. I do it with clients who, whether the couples, whether the individuals in that sense, and kind of defining it for them. But I think it's something that needs to be talked about more and that we should teach more, because I think the way we defined it in the beginning is the word has so many meaning and power, but it's also healing. I feel like intimacy is a form of healing.
For
being
sure.
Able, and I'm speaking from a woman's lens, right? To take the cape off or to leave the burden to just fully say like, hey,
this is me
and I'm here and I'm in this space with you and you're seeing something that I've never shared with someone, or I'm trusting this would stay where it is.
And that's also so important for us.
It's very important for us, right?
Especially as black women.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I also think you have to start with intimacy with self before you can really kind of teach another person.
That's what I was going
to say. That's what I think what you were talking about, like taking the cape off, that vulnerability of not feeling like you have to perform or to be this black person, this wife, this girlfriend, this significant
type of
other, you know what I'm saying? Like you have to first kind of be intimate with yourself, be safe with that stripped
being
before you then, because I often found that that was a little part of my barrier with being intimate with other people is that I felt a disconnect with myself, right? So like when people are wanting to look at me in my eyes and just look at me, like the way that used to make me feel, like you're not even touching me, but it made me feel so like, oh my God, since I was young. Like I remember being in the lunchroom in elementary school and one of the things that people would do is just stare at me because it would make, it would have such, I would have such a reaction.
Like Sophie hits it when I'm just like staring
because,
at
but them. The eyes are so like intense. Like you, there's no escaping. So like, that, me being more comfortable with that, and I have to say my my partner that I had in the last 2 years really helped me being able to be more comfortable. It was a little exposure therapy because it was very much like staring into my eyes. I was like, oh my God, like this is so much. Like, but it definitely helped and it definitely made me feel more comfortable and safe and not that knee-jerk reaction to hide.
Yeah.
That's interesting that you say that, that like that some of that growth happened like in a partnership.
Yeah.
I think that I have similar experience as well, like in partnership and also just with others, I think. Like it definitely, I was able to like overcome that through like my relationship with my therapist, but also just in relationships, like being in relationships where I felt like seen helped me to like, it helped me feel validated in who I was because I've also had a lot of experiences and relationships that were not validating to who I authentically am. Like I've been called annoying, I've been called like too much, so like being in a relationship with someone that saw me like just as is really helped me like, oh right, like I am lit actually.
Yeah, for sure.
What are some things I think for the people that, what are like maybe three or four things that can, that we can tell them that can help them like start to embrace intimacy or even being, spending time with themselves, like you said, building intimacy?
I would definitely say number one is not being afraid to talk about it. I think like the key to getting what you want is like saying it, right? So like needing to have some conversations around intimacy and not just leaving it to like the assumption or like you already know how to be intimate with me, whether that's like a romantic relationship, a platonic relationship. It is very much around like, how do you have conversations around what you want from these people? How do you have conversations to let somebody know like, this is what makes me feel safe?
So they need to talk. Open your mouth and
instead of assuming that the other person knows, and often having to repeat. This is another thing that people like will And I think I know it comes from, you know, your learning history. It comes from your parents, your teachers, your significant other telling you, you know, I only need to tell you this once.
Right.
You should get it the first time. And
listen.
So there's this like, were you not listening? Yeah, I'm a kid though. So my mind is often like, my synapses are growing literally every second of the minute. So what you told me 2 seconds ago has already gone down a tube. So you have to tell
me
again.
And if you told me more than one thing, I only heard one.
Right, and most of us are inattention anyway. So like, you know, like, so back to what I'm saying is that we have to repeat ourselves.
Yes.
And I also think that before you can be intimate with other people, it's around really sitting with yourself. I often think maybe like the stripping of yourself, that could be both literal, but also like figuratively in terms of when you are not feeling the best, when you're no longer able to hold on to that mask or that cape. When you're in those moments of dropping everything, just sitting with yourself in that moment and being kind, gentle, and the supportive person that you want the partner to be. Because we often put on to other people what we cannot do for ourselves, right? We want people to be forgiving. We want people to be understanding. We want people to be loving and caring and encapsulating and compassionate. And we don't do that to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that that's what would be the first thing to do is spending time unfiltered, not performing with yourself.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would say following after all that is cry.
Have some vulnerable open cry.
I think, like, I tell clients who judge their crying or who say they've never cried, and it's okay because some people don't, but I say cry is cleansing your senses.
Yeah.
Cry puts you in a state of wanting to be a sense of openness, like to be nurtured, whether you providing, like you said, the nurturing to yourself as you cry in the shower, or to yourself when you're alone time, when you're not your best, or even when you speaking out the pain that you experience, or when you speaking out joy you're experiencing, even because you could still cry experiencing joy. You know, I have cry just thinking about how over the year, this year alone, how my life has that changed.
Yes.
And it's changed in a way that's scary. It's changed in a way that's like positive, but cry that I never saw myself this way.
Yeah.
So another way to build intimacy is really purge and cleanse your system with a good cry. And if you have someone that you, whether it's a romantic relationship or a friend, to be supportive to, hey, I'm going to do something that's uncomfortable to you right now. And you may feel uncomfortable, but I need this. And that's, that's another way to build intimacy.
Right, I so totally agree.
Spend time with yourself when you're not at your worst, at your whatever state you're in, and cry.
Yeah, release it, let it go.
Let it go, let it go.
All right, well, I think that we can definitely pick back up on this a little bit more when we see each other again. Mm-hmm. I am Sparkle Ty.
Stephanie.
And I'm Jay. And it's a wrap.